wish you a very warm welcome to the Dharma Hall today. So it's really lovely to come into the Dharma Hall again and feel its kind of restful presence. And I hope it feels welcoming and at least somewhat delightful to be here in this space. So if you'd like, feel free to use the chat to say hello, and we'll use it in that sense also to gather a little bit of sense of community here of those of us who've gathered. And I'll introduce myself this time. So I'm Nathan, representing Gaia House, one of the teachers at Gaia House here. Real pleasure to be opening the hall on behalf of Gaia House. And I'm actually not that far from Gaia House myself now. I'm just up in Dorset. So, yeah, it's been a beautiful, bright, sunny day today. And I hope it's been an enjoyable day for you. And I should imagine there's possibly quite a few people who are not here in the hall today because it is just so bright and sunny and delightful. But so really happy that you've chosen to be here and take your seat in the hall again. So as you'll know, I like to encourage people not to look at the screen during these sessions. If you like to look at the screen, you're completely free to. If you'd like to look out of a window, that might be nicer. So you decide for yourself. I won't take it as anything but you being very sensible and caring of your eyesight if you want to. But if it's helpful to look at a screen and see the person who's talking, then do that. Yeah. This is just to say you have that freedom, or if you needed any permission, then you have that permission. So I'm just naming a freedom you already had. You know, before I turned up, you already had the freedom to choose where you wanted to put your stick your face and offer your eyesight. But most of what I'll have to share will probably come in the form of sound. So if you can hear me, then I would say that might be 100%, but it's certainly going to be, you know, pretty close to that. So shortly, I'd like to invite us into a meditation together. Actually, a specific meditation, but I'll say a bit more about that after we've gathered our intentions for the session. And then I'll share a little reflection, somewhat related to the posture and the practice, but also opening out from there to how it kind of fits in. If you were with me the last time I was here, which may have been 2 weeks ago, we started opening up the bases of success. And I'd like to continue those. There's four bases of success talked about, and I'd like to speak about the next in the series there. And then be time for kind of some kind of sharing space where any questions that you have, any comments, anything you want to share, you know, we'll have time for that. And if there's interest, we'll close out with some little groups in breakout rooms. Yeah, so we have about an hour and a half all together for that. So, interestingly, one of the bases of success could be said to be intention. That might be stretching it a little bit, but I think the intention behind the attention that brings the body, heart, and mind into the moment is probably a good way of describing one of the bases. Not the one we'll be talking about today, maybe that'll be next time. But the setting of our intention turns out to be a very significant part of all meditation practice. Yeah. Any time our attention lands somewhere, it's because there was an intention to start heading it towards there. And that could be conscious and it could be unconscious. Being more conscious with our intentions and therefore our attention is probably a key part of the meditator's journey. Yeah. So then it comes down to this important question, well, what's my intention? What do I want to develop? What do I want to attend to? What do I want to support? So when you've come here, you've come into the Dharma Hall, you could have been anywhere else, you could have placed your attention anywhere else, but you decided here, within your body, heart, mind experience, in this Dharma hall, with this Sangha, with this support. So what is it you want to develop? What is it you want to tune into? What is it you want to co-create and support? Both through your presence here, and what do you want this to be? What do you want this to be a vessel for? So we could say that in more simple terms, what would you like to make from this time? What would you like to offer to this time? What would you like to support? Yeah. And yes, exactly, invite you to place them into the chat. So yeah, we have some peace and grounding. Calm. Loving, peaceful presence. And as we say them, you can feel the intention. Maybe there's a resonance or harmonization. Yeah. To be with my present experience fully. Yeah, really. Very, very beautiful intentions. Compassion. Flexible points of view. And I don't know if you can already taste it. You know, there's this... what was that? There's this author who said, you know, it's like these short stories in just very few words, you know, that you can tell a whole story just in like, yeah, just that someone says calm, yeah, someone says stability and compassion. Just get a feeling of the being that intention arose within, the beauty of that intention. In a certain way, sharing our intentions might be the deepest part of this whole session. Yeah, so don't overlook anything. Yeah. Compassion and connection. Also calm. Delight. Groundedness. Ease. Yeah, really beautiful, really beautiful. Yeah, I think it was F. Scott Fitzgerald, wasn't it, who did that? Just a few words in a short story. I think his was baby shoes, never used, or something like this. But just that thing, compassion, connection, stability and compassion, flexible points of view. They kind of send us off on a journey, possibilities of each of our intentions. And our intentions then, yeah, need to be supported, right? So they point towards kind of a wisdom reflection. It's like, there's something wise here, and then bring our intentions into that. And then that starts to shape and become our practice. The second of the bases of success is virya, which is energy and effort, and sometimes translated by words which are quite unpopular in a certain sense, yeah, perseverance. You know, I expect it's a lot more of us might sign up for relaxation and spaciousness as opposed to perseverance through it all. But it's perseverance through it all, day to day. But we'll do it in the most fun and enjoyable way, of course. I would like to invite you, if you would like, really, if you would like. If you don't like, then don't do it. Yeah. Into some standing meditation. Because what's useful about standing meditation is that without taking quite as much time, we can get to that point where I'd really rather stop, you know, that point in meditation where you just think, maybe I'll do something else. It comes a little bit quicker in the standing posture for some of us. Yeah. So this would be a guided to a certain degree. Like the guidance will actually be around, okay, we've been standing for 15 minutes. If you want to transition to sitting now, then that's fine. Yeah. if you want to do another, 10 minutes or whatever it is that we have time for, then, we'll do it in like that. The general idea, if you want to do standing meditation, is stand gently, yeah, stand flexibly, and also, try not to lock up, try and stay relaxed while also being upright. There won't need to probably be a lot more instructions from there, as opposed to like, oh, keep paying attention to this. Your mind possibly won't wander so much, that's something that's really delightful. Kind of a background reason, why would we do practice in different postures? Because it reveals to us different energies, different experiences, and all the rest. But within that, if you don't want to, don't, right? Just sit, stand, walk, lie down, whatever you want to do during this time. But the guidance will be based around standing, okay, if you'd like to. So I think we can take half an hour for standing, yeah? And if you want, you can do it in two halves, yeah? You could either join us for the last 15 minutes or join us for the first 15 minutes and see if you want to do the whole thing. This isn't like you're not going to get a trophy. Don't be a tough girl or a tough guy. Stay soft, stay relaxed, remember to breathe, and I'll offer those kind of reminders through the session. So if you want, you're welcome to take the body into a standing posture. See if you can find somewhere that's reasonably level. Probably one of the best places to do standing meditation is in front of a tree, because you may have noticed they're quite good at it. They can be a good inspiration. And again, we're not trying to outstand the tree. The tree's going to outstand us, but we can learn a lot from that. So what do trees have? This groundedness. So maybe we'll just begin imagining, as a support, roots coming down through the feet into the earth, deeper and deeper, wider and wider. Maybe the feet are shoulder width apart, whatever feels comfortable for you. It can be a good chance to correct our posture a little bit. So you may have heard about the S shape in the spine, not completely flat. But you could imagine maybe like your tonsils have a string on them at the back of the mouth, and you just pull up like a string from the top of the head. Get that alignment there. Maybe the chin tucks a little bit. But you can let the belly out, let the shoulders be loose, and let that string go and just fall into the right place. Usually a big question is, what do you want to do with your hands? They could hang by the side, you could bring them together at the front, you could bring them together at the back, put them in your pockets, whatever you want to do, whatever feels supportive. Really important part of the practice, which at first might make it feel a bit more difficult, but in the long run is really worth learning how to do, is softening the knees a little bit. So it's just a gentlest intimation of a bend, that they're not tight. And any time we can switch our weight from one foot to the other, so that there's feeling of that movement, that flexibility. So like a, could be like a tree, youngish tree that has that flexibility. Or like a bamboo. And then you can decide, maybe the standing posture itself is the focus for the meditation. Maybe the breathing. maybe listening to sounds. But if you remember, as you're doing this practice, remember what your intention was. So let that be the atmosphere with which you pay attention to the standing, the sounds, the breath, the body, whatever it is. Let that imbue the attention when you remind yourself, particularly if you come back from mind wandering. As much as possible, not thinking about how long we're standing for, and just being present with this moment. Okay, I'll come back with some reminders. People who enjoy this practice, this posture is often called the posture of no escape. That might be because it tends to gather the energies But of course, the negative side of that statement might mean we really tense up. There's no escape. That's difficult. It's hard to be with. So we can counter that with quite a lot of relaxation through the whole body. You know, the bent knees, belly out. Can really release on an out breath. We can relax through the whole body as much as we can, remembering those roots into the earth. And also, if the gathering becomes too intense, just remembering we can also notice the space behind, the space out to the sides, space above. That's how that supports the standing. We can keep that space open while we pay attention to our experience. Calling to mind that intention that you felt to develop before. have an inquiry here. How would we be breathing if that intention was here? What would the way we breathe, how would that express that? How would we sense that? And it's inviting that kind of breath. So having the breath express, support, invite what we wish to support, what we wish to reveal. As you breathe in this way with that intention in the heart, in the mind, in the awareness, you can invite it, if there's any sense of it already, just to be able to spread through the whole body, through the space of awareness behind, to the sides, in front, both supporting us in our practice and also being available for others. So we've already passed the halfway mark of this meditation, and time is empty, so probably the second half will go a lot quicker. If you want to stay with it, stay relaxed, stay spacious. If you want to transition to sitting, feel free. There's no sense of failure or success that we need to add on to this. We're still practicing, still being present, still exploring our experience. There may well be that it feels easier practicing now. It's almost like the downhill after the uphill for some of us, some of the time. But at any point in time, whether we're sitting, walking, lying, whatever, we can get that, I want to stop. Just arises, it's just a thought. It occurs at any time, doesn't stop occurring because you're an expert, doesn't only occur if you're a beginner, or can just appear. Perhaps the key of being more experienced is that we know this is a thought, and we know that what it needs is our intentional attention. So bring that peace, bring that calm, bring that flexibility, bring that groundedness, that ease to this. Don't need to follow our thoughts. What a freedom. What a delight. So wherever you are, relaxing, opening the space, inviting your intention. Whether it's easy or hard right now, can we remain? Can we sustain? Can be that the mind is really, really busy, but it can be that the mind has become really quite still. If it has become more still, maybe you can get closer to your experience. Sometimes we have an imagination of ourselves standing in the mind's eye, but it's not in line with the body. Just a gentle lean backwards, maybe if the mind's eye impression is in the front. Could be that we follow the breath in, that we feel more embodied. Oh yeah, this is where the body is, feeling the body, the heaviness of the body, the lightness of the body, the fluidity of the body, the energy, the aliveness of the body, in the body, if the body is the right place for us. If it's not, just opening to sounds, opening to whatever is helpful for you. Getting to know. In Tibetan, they use the word gom for meditation, getting familiar with. Getting familiar with the back of the body. And getting familiar with what that does for the body, heart, mind. How that feels. Once again, getting familiar with your experience. We reach towards the end of the meditation. How is the qualities you've cultivated? How do they feel? Can there be a sense of appreciation for yourself, your practice? Can there be appreciation for a more steady heart and mind? Maybe more open space of awareness. So we're just enjoying whatever is enjoyable, appreciating whatever is appreciable by you. I invite you to bring the qualities that you've cultivated in the standing with you as we transition out of the meditation. If you wish to stay standing, you're enjoying it, obviously, you're very invited to do that. So I'd be really happy to hear how that was for you. Really feel free, maybe if you just, maybe you can put it in one word or two into the chat if you'd like, but we'll open up in 20, 25 minutes to hear from people directly, you know, what you think of this practice, what you think about the reflection that'll kind of flow on shortly. You know, you're also allowed to be not sure. Maybe I like it, maybe I don't. Nothing should be to everyone's cup of tea, as they say. So some nice reflections here. noticing the difference between the postures, which I think is a really important part. Noticing a certain kind of itchy energy there. Noticing a sense of welcome, a sense of being tall, yeah. Sense of swaying, sense of confidence. A sense of I needed to be active, doing something. It's a really interesting and hopefully, you know, also really kind of useful sense of things that can kind of come about when we try out some new things. Yeah, so I'm feeling tree-like. It's a really lovely sense, right? Who wouldn't want to be feeling tree-like? Unless you were thinking of a tree that really, you know, was in a bad location or something. But that kind of quality that I think we mean when we talk about being tree-like. To be strong, to be resilient. And, you know, to kind of occupy those senses, those sense of energetics that we can find and explore through different postures, I think it's really precious to do. You know, it almost feels like sitting meditation is the, I don't know, funny or good-looking sibling of all the meditation postures. You know, it gets most of the attention. Tends to be the one, if people are doing a daily life practice, it's the one we tend to do. But there's such riches, so much richness in different postures. Really big fan of doing multiple postures in a day, over a week, whatever it is. So I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. I just feel it would be remiss of me not to make my deep bow to Gaia House for offering this space to us, and, you know, offering it so freely and leaving us very free in how we wish to support Gaia House with its teachings that are offered here and the space that we can come to whenever we wish to. You know, most days of the week the Dharma Hall is open, freely available. And with that, you know, if you have some possibility of offering something in return, very, very welcome to do that. If it's not the right time for you, you know, we appreciate these are uncertain times, and not just uncertain, really hard, yeah, and hitting different of us in different ways. So very open, I can say on behalf of Gaia House and also all the teachers and everyone who comes here, very open about what comes back, you know. You know, really want you to feel welcome to be here. Supported to be here, that you enjoy to come and to be here. And of course, within that, it does take someone of us to actually dive in and, you know, support it. So if you're in a position, if you have the resources right now and you'd like to support Gaia House, if you'd like to support those who come here to share teachings and practices, yeah, you're very welcome to. I put some links into the chat here for that, so you'll know. I mean, it's basically, there's a link from the page you came from with the it's a little bit messy. I think my links are a bit too close together. I'm just going to do that again. To offer Gaia House Dana, but I've put a link in there in the middle, which would be my preference for if you wanted to give any Dana for me or on behalf of me. You can give it to Gaia House, that's okay. You could also give it to India. You know, as we know, India is particularly suffering with this pandemic, and, you know, not being a particularly rich country, it's probably also going to go on for a while of challenges there. And so when we think about persistence, I thought it was a kind of an interesting point that I heard about in India, is that I tend to go out there and volunteer in a leprosy community, which I would really highly recommend. You know, if you ever want to do something really enjoyable, is bring meditation and social engagement or environmental engagement or anything like that into being. Really, really beautiful experience. And they said to me, you know, we get a lot of funding for big new projects, like buy a, build a new building, but very little funding for ongoing projects. So like the maintenance, the upkeep, someone builds a new building and they get it named after them, but no one gets kind of named for plastering the cracks, or buying a new broom, for every room, or all of these kind of things. So the and I thought, well, that's interesting, because when we talk about persistence, when we talk about bringing our effort and our energy in, many of us might do a similar thing towards our meditation. This might be a metaphor too far, right, coming up. But like, we might feel like, yes, I did my meditation, as in I showed up and adopted the posture in the beginning. But did I actually persevere in the middle? Yeah. Did I do the equivalent of plastering the cracks, like when it got difficult? Or did I say, well, I have already sat for a while, I don't know. It's just an inquiry, just a question. So I want to speak a little bit about the basis of desire, and I want to speak about this one in particular, sorry, the basis of success. It starts off with desire. We'll get to that in a second. And it's kind of a continuation from an earlier talk. I've uploaded it on Dharma Seed. It'll be listed under, well, it'll be listed under my name at least, and it'll be listed under, I put the Guy House talks in monthly sections, but I can't remember if it was this month or last month that I shared these. So I'll just give a little review before we dive into the second quality. So we could say that one of the base, so there are four bases of success, of progress, of development, and all of those words might sound yucky to us, but it, in a certain sense, there's always a goal in our practice, and how do we relate to that? And how do we, we talk about these intentions that we had in the beginning. Those intentions shape our goal. Like, that's what I want to develop. I have a sense of awakening into, dot dot dot. So calmness, peace, being fully awake to who I'm appearing as right now, to be fully awake to the compassion that's available in my heart. Yeah. So we understand what it is that we desire. Yeah. But more than that, we also understand the causes that give rise to that desire, the intentions, yeah, that underpin our intention. So you want to develop compassion. Well, that's great. How do you do that? How do you embody that? How do you breathe that way, like we said in the meditation? Yeah. How do you look that way? Look as if compassion's already here. Or try to. Yeah. So we understand our desire, and we understand that we need to bring it into being. We need to work to develop it. We need to shape our way of relating so that it gives space for it. Yeah. Underpinning all of our practice, I would say, at times like those, there's this very, very beautiful question that the Buddha asks, which is, what when I do it leads to lasting happiness and well-being? What when I do it leads to lasting happiness and well-being? Yeah. Sort of underpinning that intention question, but then it also becomes a what when I do it question. Yeah. It's not just have a good intention, right? Thank you very much. You can go home now. But it's really like, how do we bring that into being? Bring that into being for our lasting happiness and well-being, for others' lasting happiness and well-being. Right? So it's speaking about this blameless happiness that's available for the human being, yeah, which is actually the theme of a course that I'm running with Guy House at the moment, which you can actually still join in if you're interested in it. But it's bringing this lasting happiness and well-being. Not everything is ephemeral, yeah, not everything's impermanent. Some things really last. Some things are really available, really deeply enriching. And then so we need persistence with this matter, yeah. So you want to bring in compassion, Okay, we didn't evolve for that. I'm very sorry. You're going to have to wait a while. Yeah. This is a long journey, not a short walk. This is not just, well, just nip down to the corner shop and pick up your compassion, you know? It's like where you need to go and start gathering the materials. But, some of these things are still growing out there. You have to wait for them to finish growing so that you can cultivate them. So this is kind of a long journey. In a long journey, persistence is so important. Yeah. Also, not forgetfulness. Well, my father just celebrated a birthday and someone sent him one of those kind of humorous birthday cards where someone had climbed up a mountain at the top and then they were just putting their flag in their hand as if they're putting it down, but they actually said, "What did I come up here for?" And so that persistence also needs to be married to memory. Yeah. And you may know that sati, the word that gets translated as mindfulness, it's rooted in, or perhaps literally means, remembering. Remembering what we're doing. So persistence also depends on remembering, right? Now, what are you doing? I'm persisting. Why? I can't remember. So it's really important. This is a long journey. This is cultivating something very subtle. This is heading in an unusual direction. Yes. Beautiful Dharma community called Going Against the Stream. Yeah. There's a whole range of metaphors to do with rivers and streams and entering the stream. Yeah. A stream enterer, you may have heard this term, or be aware that it kind of lingers in the field. But there's a sense of going against the stream. Also, yeah. Going against our evolved patterns, going against our habitual modes. Going against our default settings. Yeah, finding something new. And so within that, resting and relaxing still matter. Yeah, they're still really significant. But they're not all of it. And in a sense, starting again, yeah, from a relaxed posture, yeah, but starting again. Or at all. Yeah, starting at all. I mean, oh no, I didn't start before, therefore, it's all wasted. No, just start. And once you start, keep going. But we have to address this really big question, perhaps the elephant in the room of how do we feel about progress, about development, about having a goal? Yeah. And what do we do in relationship to our self-view that arises with that? Yeah. This becomes particularly important in the fourth basis of success, which is the discernment quality. Am I doing it right? Yeah. Is a common kind of question we might have. A better question is, what would be a more right way of doing this? Or what would make this improve? Yeah. So that our persistence has intelligence as well. Yeah. So the whole sense around progress, development, having a goal, am I winning at my meditations? Am I losing? Are other people better than me? Am I better than I used to be? And it's all going to happen, right? Because that's what evolved patterns appear like for us humans. Yeah. But our effort should be always under development or in development, being developed. That's what I mean. Not effort should always be underdeveloped, but onwardly developing. Yeah. And so when we come and we stand here, we get to understand a little bit more the range, perhaps. It's like, ah, this is what happens. Yeah. Practice in all the postures really brings us an insight into the range of how we can be present. It also gives us a range of how much effort we can make in a session. And also, perhaps, what fruits we get from the application of those efforts. Yeah. In this sense, effort's always in development. Yeah. I think, I don't know if this is an accurate quote, but something I could feel that Rob Bebear would have said, is like, always have your fingers on the dial of effort. I think he said, it should always be alive in our practice. There's no like turn it to five and then leave it there, It's like these buildings that are not getting their maintenance. It's like, well, I built the building. Can't someone else maintain it? It's like, no. Can't someone else handle the effort for us, you know, so that we don't need to pay attention to something so, I don't know, crude or something. And there can be this sense, a sense that things will just get better. They'll just get better, you know. We just need to apply ourselves and do that, and we simplify the whole mission. But no, it has to be alive. And we also shouldn't be disappointed when things don't continuously get better. You know, in my meditation, oh, like I said, you know, this shouldn't be happening to a beginner, to an experienced person. You know, there isn't anything like that that I know. The only difference makes is like, ah, I think I remember what I did last time. Maybe I can try that again. Yeah. So there's going to be times when we're going to feel like stopping in a meditation. There's going to be times when we feel like not beginning in a meditation session. Yeah. So really being alert to that. Really being alert. And can we have the willingness to stick with it? Can we have the willingness to cultivate energy? Yeah. You say, oh, well, I haven't got the energy to meditate. You know, so whenever I say that, it always reminds me of this French cartoon poem. I think I've mentioned it in the hall numerous times before. And it says, you know, I'm too busy to meditate. I'm too tired to meditate. I'm too, you know, it's too noisy to meditate. And then the last one is, it's too late to meditate. And it's the kind of the gravestone, you know. And so we can keep postponing this. But can we just begin? It's like, oh, it's noisy here. But adapt, right? So when it's noisy, can we do listening meditation? There are sounds, there are vibrations happening here. Yeah. If we're somewhere, it's tiredness. Oh, okay, so what's helpful there? Surprisingly, standing up. Standing up is helpful there. Now, when I'm tired, stand up starts to bring energy. Yeah. If it's too much, sit down. If you really want to get engaged, stand for 5 minutes, sit for 10. Notice the difference. That first 5 minutes of standing, sometimes it clears the dust, you know, clears things out. If you really want to go heavy into the thing, take off a few layers of clothes. You know, don't be quite so comfortable. Brightens the whole mind. Yeah. Contemplate the great, you know, transience of life. Nice, life's short. It's going to be too late to meditate one day. And I want to be able to be awake on my deathbed. Yeah, I want to be able to be present in the most precious of moments. When life's hard. I don't want to say, oh, I'm sorry that life's hard right now, but I have to check out because I haven't practiced with the slight difficulties. Yeah, I haven't pushed the boundaries. I haven't explored the range. And there's actually a beautiful kind of generosity here to give your all to something. One of the paradoxes of the human being, you know, is you'll hear a lot about that how a sacrifice can actually open new ranges of happiness. Yeah, going beyond. One meditation teacher gives a really kind of contemporary example of how our persistence can shape our practice is that the difference between a good athlete and a great one is doing the practice. Yeah, it's training the heart and the mind into new ranges, into new possibilities, stretching it, pushing the limits. And we don't speak a lot about that in the meditation field, I think. And maybe there's good reasons for that, because much as we would say, when there's discernment, there becomes self-view. You have to be skillful to guide it back. So we're like an artist who's, okay, what does this need? What does this painting need? Not, am I a rubbish artist because, you know, this painting doesn't look like a Van Gogh or whatever. Yeah. Oh, I'm a rubbish meditator because I'm not a Buddha right now. But what would it work like? How would it be if I were to soften here? Or how would it be if I were to brighten here? How would it be if I were to persist here? Yeah. And so when we're doing the practice and we don't want to? Can we still have our intention in our heart and minds? You know, we tried that out in the practice. Maybe it worked for you. Maybe it didn't, yeah. But I think the analogy of the artist is quite of the athlete is quite helpful, because I really think that we hit the wall at times. You know, marathon runners speak about hitting the wall, you know, and then that's my limit, that's my boundary, that's as far as I can do, as far as I can go. But that wall doesn't physically exist. You know? It exists in the heart and mind, it exists in our sense. Can we find out why it's arisen? What's not there? And sometimes it's just the quick and the easy fix is actually it just needs some mindfulness. It just needs us to get interested in it. Yeah, it just needs us to make some adjustments, to make some space. Yeah, you can always remember the space behind, around to the sides, up above. What happens if I recall that, bring that into being? What then appears? And one thing particularly specific for the meditator, yeah, is be aware of the fabrication of time. Yeah, time matters here. You know, those senses, how long will I have to persevere? You know, I think there may be no more tiring or disheartening thought possible. Yeah. Oh, how much longer do I have to do? As opposed to, what's this moment need? Yeah, and we start to engage and offer in the intentions, offer in the spaciousness, offer in the presence of heart and mind. Yeah. You think there's not going to be any joy coming from that thought. How long have I done already? How much more is there to go? So in a sense, if you can do it, just choose to do it. Just forget about the future. You know, forget about the past. They're really heavy things. And maybe just this breath, just this sound, just this moment. Only now is it possible to persevere in with ease. Only now. So in a sense, don't make it harder than it needs to be. Yeah. Start to work the effort into a pace that feeds itself. Yeah. And as we said towards the end, don't forget to enjoy. Also don't forget to enjoy it. These practices bring in ease in a subtler way, in a subtler presence. Perseverance is not gritting your teeth. Yeah. But it's being willing to keep showing up with the heart qualities that you wish to bring into being, to gather body, heart and mind in a samadhi of intentionality. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to share about the teachings from today. And I'm really happy to hear how they land, and if you want to share anything about doing the standing practice, particularly if it was your first time doing some standing, I'd love to hear about that. And yeah, anything you want to offer into the space is welcome. And I'll also say now, you know, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for your support of the Dharma Hall, and thank you for your support of each other. And it's always really lovely to be here practicing together. And I'll wish you well in your onwards journey.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.